Shalom Havarim, and thanks for tuning in to the Shofar Ministries program on Christian Radio or on the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. This is Dan, along with our teacher of God's Word, and my special lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Erev Tov, and welcome, saints of God. Let us worship our Father.
We do worship you, Abba Father, for you are the God above all gods. We trust you in all things as we pray for Israel and all the victims, especially the hostages, knowing you watch over Israel and promise them they will never be destroyed. Therefore, Lord, in your timing, they will be victorious. We pray for our recent prayer request. Bless them as we plead healing over their infirmities. May you grant favor and grace to their unsaved loved ones, doing whatever it takes to bring them to their knees. We covet your presence tonight and open all ears to receive what you wish to impart. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen, and shalom to all of you tonight as we continue in the Word of God. Isaiah 26, a very unique chapter and seldom taught in context. But that's what we love to do, and I pray is what you like to do as well.
And it keeps one fully sanctified,
meaning residing permanently in the Holy of Holies. As most of you know, during temple times, the laver, which was a big basin filled with water, stood in the outer court of the temple and was a picture of the water of the Word. They had to wash in before entering the holy place because they could not enter unless they first washed their feet, as Jesus washed the feet of the apostles, symbolizing their walk with God.
And carrying the truth to others.
Mm-hmm. Same with us. We cannot enter the holy place and then the Holy of Holies unless you are washed with the Word of God.
You know, that's a great typology.
And by the way, that was the washing of both feet, because as we see today, some only wash one foot, keeping one foot in the world.
So before we continue in Isaiah 26, what is the latest?
Well, looks like we still don't have a speaker in the house.
And that's not good. And then there's Israel,
who have not yet entered full force into southern Gaza, except a few with some success. But Iran has warned that if they continue with their larger incursion, they will suffer an earthquake.
Also, rockets have landed up north.
And about 1 million Israelis are being moved from harm's way. I also heard that the actual government of Lebanon is not happy with Hezbollah because they don't want a war with Israel, and therefore they did destroy some missile sites on the southern border.
Yeah, but you know what? Definitely not enough.
Mm-hmm. And I also heard this morning that the Palestinian army from the West Bank, called Fatah, might join with Hamas to shoot Israelis.
Where Jerusalem sits.
Yep.
You know, it could be a three-front war.
But this is where God steps in. He always does when it really matters.
So look for a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Also, Biden is visiting Israel tomorrow, but he only agreed to after Bibi agreed to a monetary aid package going to the Palestinians.
You know, he must know that that will go to Hamas.
Oh, yes, he does. And today, a hospital in Gaza was hit, killing hundreds, but Israel says it was not from them and likely a misfired Hamas missile. But I wanted to comment on another heartbreaking display of pro-Hamas protesters in America.
You have some interesting facts on this serious matter.
I do. For why in the world are our own colleges and universities having anti-Israel protesting after witnessing such horrific massacres just 10 days ago by Hamas? I recently listened to an MBA Harvard graduate named Dan Diker. He's also president of the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs and an expert in this field, who said Hamas has infiltrated schools for decades and have been given a free pass to do so. from faculty and college presidents from over 300 colleges and universities.
You know, and that's just in America.
Mm-hmm. Most of the groups formed are funded by elite schools like Harvard, who go under the umbrella of the Students for Justice of Palestine, whose slogan that you heard last weekend that said, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
They say Palestine, not Palestinians.
Yes, sometimes they confuse the two, but what they mean is all of Palestine, as it once was called before Israel legally became its own state in 1948.
So what they mean is no more Jews from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea.
Oh, exactly. It's anti-Semitism as it's at its finest. That goes all the way back to Hitler in 1941, when the Muslim Grand Mufti of Jerusalem personally met with Hitler in hopes of joining together to rid the Middle East of all Jews, as he was doing in Europe. And I, and probably many of you, never knew that.
So this is why we see swastikas on the protesters' signs and flags.
Yeah. So these protesters are in essence saying, go for it, Hamas.
Therefore, Hamas supporters.
Yes. Hamas is a tentacle of both Iran, who are Shias, and the Muslim Brotherhood, who are Sunnis, but were kicked out of Egypt, which is why Egypt will not open its border for the Palestinians, knowing terrorists will come through disguising themselves as mere civilians.
And they will.
Yep.
And Biden, and is Biden okay with that?
Probably for now. Now he can, and the squad can say, but where else can they go but to America?
So, more terrorists to join the ones already here from our southern border.
Exactly. Pretty hard that the Senate passes a bill to not allow this, which they are trying to do. Many worry about secret cells being formed in the United States to at some point and at all at once attack certain communities. Anyhow, bottom line, Students for Justice of Palestine is just another front group for terrorists to receive funding and using student volunteers to get it.
Pretty good scam, if I might say so.
Mm-hmm. And many are lacking common sense. Dan Diker also talked about the United States' famous and largest Muslim charity, the Holy Land Foundation. You might remember it. It was just another scheme for funding terrorists. But thankfully, after many battles in court, it was finally shut down around 2004. However, those who did escape indictments and therefore allowed to remain in the United States went on to other schemes, as in the American Muslims for Palestine, which was a fundraising sleeve for Hamas, who now help fund, guess who?
The Students for Justice for Palestine.
Yes, who we just saw last weekend. And there's others, as in the Palestine Solidarity Committee, and there are hundreds of platforms in the world, and many right here in America, teaching jihad.
Which means not only to kill Jews, but also Christians.
These are very dangerous days.
A major sign of his soon return.
Well, amen for that.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your continued learning.
And may God bless your endeavors.
Can we get a short recap of last week's verses in Isaiah 26?
Of course. Chapter 26 begins by declaring how we get our protection through Yeshua, which is the Hebrew word for for salvation, and that we will sing joyfully in that day, which is a Jewish idiom describing the future and last 1,000 years of history. Then we see another Jewish idiom phrase used that when in that day begins, the gates of heaven are opened to welcome in the righteous believers, both dead and still alive, at the event we call the resurrection slash rapture. Then 9 or 10 days later, the tribulation begins with the signing of the 7-year covenant between Israel and the many of Daniel 9:27 on Yom Kippur. Now, during the tribulation, God pours out his mercy, and some will accept, as in the tribulation saints. But still the wicked will show no remorse. Therefore, God will bring down the prideful and the lofty ones. Then we finished last week in verse 12 that he will establish peace forever.
And until then, there will never be any real peace.
Right. And we have confirmation of that in the book of Revelation in both the trumpet and the bowl judgments. The unrighteous could have repented, but instead blasphemed the God of heaven and did not ask God forgiveness for their deeds. Revelation 9:21 and chapter 16, verse 9.
So, you are perceiving from Isaiah and confirmed in Psalms 58, verse 3, that there are those who have the wicked seed from birth.
Well, that's what Scripture implies, mm-hmm. and therefore has been passed down since the days of the giants. But do your own study. Our calling is just to stir you up, 2 Peter 1:13.
But that is one of my questions when I get up there.
I hear you, but the beauty in all of that is we will already know the answer before we ask it. And let me just add, I have tried to come to some other explanation, just so you know, but the dots just don't seem to connect, at least not all of them. And as you might think, there are some good Bible teachers that do not agree with the wicked seed from birth, and that's okay. For it does not affect the gospel. But one thing you can't deny, and that is who our enemy is.
Ephesians 6 is clear.
So don't get hung up on the origin. Just keep our Lord's armor on you, because we are going to see even more evil in the months ahead before that trumpet finally sounds. Also keep in mind, there will be a great revival of tribulation saints as soon as the bride is called up. You know, if you have told me that they have had dreams of a great revival coming, but are those dreams depicting before or after the tribulation? Most likely after or during. But we are hearing of pockets of revival happening all over the world. Okay, Isaiah 26, verse 13.
O Lord our God, masters beside you have dominion over us. But by you only we make mention of your name.
At one time before our salvation, we've all had different loyalties. Now we use his name only. Verses 14 and 15.
They are dead.
This word dead is muth, and it means physical death.
They will not live. They are deceased. They will not rise.
So the word deceased here is Raphaim, number 7496, and refers to the wicked, the natural descendants from the Nephilim and the giants, and without a doubt, wicked from birth. Let's continue in verse 14.
Therefore you have punished and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. You have increased the nation, O Lord.
And of course that means the righteous nation.
You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land.
And that's, of course, in the Messianic Kingdom. Now, remember the context. That's always important, because this chapter began with the righteous resurrection. The evil Raphaim are not part of that. They shall not rise with the righteous. Again, this is speaking on the actual descendants of the Nephilim, who are doomed and will be totally destroyed.
During the kingdom, they won't even be remembered.
And his righteous nation will be increased with no more evil. Let's continue in verse 16.
Lord, in trouble, they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them.
In other words, they only visit him when in trouble. Now, does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17.
As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord.
Again, cries out to God when in personal pain. And this is important. When Scripture specifically uses the phrase, as a woman in labor pains, it is referring to the tribulation when all the Jews will have a new birth after having much pain. In the next verse, the Jews, you'll see, admit they have had pain before, but to no avail. And that's because it was not pain enough, as in the tribulation. As a woman in severe labor. Let's look at verse 18.
We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth.
Now, the original says we have not brought forth salvation, meaning as a whole.
Nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen.
Of course, meaning the unrighteous. In other words, we are not yet in the Messianic kingdom, but it is coming after the labor pains for the whole nation during what Jeremiah 30, verse 7 calls Jacob's trouble. You have all heard in today's world that many assume they are going to heaven because they are a good person or go through some motions and will beg God to help when trouble visits them.
Jesus mentions them in Matthew 7 who say they are Christians but are not.
Right. But when they find themselves in the tribulation, they realize this and they will get saved. These are the tribulation saints. Then in verses 19 through 21, we have a future description of the righteous saints that will partake in the resurrection and confirms what we teach. Those who might still be having doubts about the pre-trib rapture, please listen up. These are Isaiah's final verses to this chapter, and obviously meant for you. Verse 19.
Your dead.
This is God's righteous.
Shall live together with my dead body.
So who's talking here?
Isaiah.
So obviously part of this righteous resurrection. Continue.
They shall arise, awake, and sing, you who dwell in dust.
And this, the word is afar, 6083, and it means a surface ground, not deep inside the earth.
For your dew is like the dew of herbs.
Now that word for dew is orah, and it means light, as when light makes the flowers bloom.
And the earth shall cast out the dead.
Okay, here's different. This earth here is 167, eretz, and it means deep in the earth. And the word for dead, yeah, believe it, rapha, the evil dead, who will be destroyed. I think maybe, let's read that again using the Hebrew meanings and just for clarity.
Your righteous dead shall live again with the Isaiah's. They shall arise, awake, and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your light is like the dew of herbs, and the deep earth shall cast out the rapha.
Uh-huh. Now, there's only one righteous resurrection. The last resurrection is for the unrighteous to judge the actual sentence, as some will be worse than others, so says 2 Timothy 4:14. Matthew 23:14, and there are others.
So this means that all the righteous will arise.
Which means the Old Testament and the New Testament saints all together at once shall arise at the start of the seventh day, as the beginning of this chapter suggests. But then reassurance that the Raphaim are destroyed from the earth. Remember, we rise from the dust of the ground. These were deep in the earth and will eventually, at the great white throne resurrection of the ungodly, will be judged and be entirely gone forever.
Revelation 20:12.
Mm-hmm. Satan and other fallen angels, well, they're going to be used as part of the judgment during the tribulation on the unrighteous especially. Then after the 7 years, at the end of the tribulation, Satan will be chained till the end of the Messianic kingdom, when he will be let loose for the last time, so to give the remaining humans, and there's going to be a lot of them by then, give them an opportunity to choose who they will serve.
And then Satan is destroyed as well.
Yep, because, and everybody at some point gets a choice. And that's what God's all about and why he's done that. He wants us to be able to choose him. Now, the next verse, we hear our Lord talking to us as we are being resurrected. I just love this. Resurrected into heaven. Verse 20.
Come, my people.
Now, that's Revelation 4:1.
Enter your chambers.
This is Hadar, the wedding chamber.
And shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past.
That's 2:1-5, and it means wrath. In other words, until the tribulation is past. You know, when I first read this many years ago in the Old Testament, I was elated that it was even in the Old Testament. And it gets even better in the next verse, which is at the end of the 7-year tribulation. Let's read verse 21.
For behold, the Lord comes out of his place.
Revelation 19.
To punish the inhabitants.
Also called earth dwellers.
Of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain.
And boy, I'm reminded of the waters turning to blood in Revelation. Perhaps that represents the martyrs through all the years, and the martyrs for Christ will be revealed, and no one will have to go through that ever again. And let me add that if you keep reading, and you can do this on your own in chapter 27, it actually begins by informing us that the serpent monster from the sea that you read about in Revelation 13 is slayed. And we know from Revelation 19, he and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire.
Well, amen to that.
And also read Daniel 8:19, because it confirms that the indignation is Jacob's trouble. I'll read it real quick for you. He said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time, the end shall be. So, precious ones, if you are listening out there and you have never made the biblical Jesus over your life, I'm talking to you. Christ suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. He paid your debt for sins. You know, he said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If you are hearing his voice, he says, open the door. I will come into you and will dine with you, and you with me. I know you can hear his voice. He's knocking right now, but he won't crash in. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of this love story, written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of
Jerusalem.
Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, read the word, tell someone about Jesus. Shalom and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.